So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire where weakness is made strong. Myself, I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He shields the flames again. He never promised that the cross.
Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. And the Lord will take us through the fire every single time. There's a challenge in our way. There's a wall that needs to be leaped over. There's a troop we need to run through. Why, the scriptures tells us that the Lord will enable us to do that. And we appreciate the Lord. Appreciate you being here this morning. And boy, I tell you, monsoon isn't the correct word for what's on the outside. Cats and dogs, maybe, I don't know. But I tell you, since yesterday evening, or yesterday, we have been receiving some rain. So, hey, the Lord knows exactly what we need. And we appreciate that. Just be careful in your travels. And I just take it as showers of blessings. What it is, showers of blessings. I want to mention a couple things this morning. First and foremost, I actually just received a call from Brother Snyder, and he wanted me to communicate to the church that the children's home will not be here today. One or two of the children had visited with some family, and unfortunately they were exposed to the virus. They do not have it, but they were exposed, and so out of abundance of caution, of course, they are staying in-house today. So let's remember these that were exposed to the virus, and let's pray that the Lord would touch them, our children at home, and that whatever symptoms they may be having, that the Lord would just eliminate that. get them well and back to church. We love our children's home, don't we? Amen? And appreciate them. And so I definitely wanted to make mention of that. Also, remember that at the end of the service, tithes and offerings will be collected, will be opportunity, I should say, to give tithes. And I don't want to sound like a creditor, will be collected. But the opportunity for all of us to give at the end of the service, like we have been doing as of late, we'll have ushers at the doors. Remember that. And there's others that we need to remember in prayer on the prayer list. But let's just remember the children's home this morning. And thank God for the praises, how the Lord answers prayer. Thank God for who He is, for what He does. Let's continue to remember the upcoming election. And let's remember all of our first responders, those that are there during our time of need. And let's remember Brother Allen, his captain, Captain Ross. How is he doing? Captain Ross is at Kenistone, not doing well. Let's remember him in prayer. We have a full-length prayer list, as we always do. Just remember every person and every life. Of course, you can see that prayer list on our webpage, calvaryministries.org. Well, this morning we're here. It's dry on the inside, so why not worship? And appreciate those watching via Facebook. And sure, you that are watching have noticed our wide angle this morning. And so we... The only person we're not able to get in is Jackson. Like, he can shake a leg and you can see in the camera. But, hey, anytime you feel free, buddy, just shake a leg. And we'll get him in there. We may have to pull back a little bit from where we are. But appreciate the Lord this morning. Appreciate you, church, praying for us as we pray for you. Let's just go to meeting this morning and see what the Lord may have for us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning, and we're thankful, we're grateful, Lord, for the things that you do. Lord, sometimes we don't understand what you're doing specifically, but we do know you're doing something. So, Lord, this morning I pray that you would meet with us in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for our choir and Brother Allen, his leadership in that area, and the songs that we sing to thee. Pray, Lord, during time of the message that you would touch me, help me be the communicator that you want me to be. And I pray that you would move in the altar time, that folks would come if they need to come. Pray if there's one here, there's one watching that does not know that when they died, heaven would be their home. Let them know today. Let them hear the clear presentation of the gospel. Lord, make it easy for them to call on you today. Father, we do pray for the children's home, that you would bless them and protect them. Heal those that may feel a little sickly. And Lord, I pray that this virus in its entirety in our world will be eliminated. But be with the home and all the workers. Be with us. Protect us. Thank you for protecting us thus far. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Choir, would you stand with me? Church, stand with me. Turn over to page 139. Musicians were playing a few moments ago, and let's sing At Calvary. Everyone stand, everyone sing. Years I spent in vanity. Thank you.
appreciate the extra melody there, brother, while everybody's watching me get suited up here. I'm spoiled with Brother Randy hand-delivering the mic. Of course, it was right on the pulpit the whole time, but Brother Randy is resting up this morning. Had a long night, so let's pray for him. This morning, we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Jonah. Book of Jonah. Jonah chapter number 1. We trust this morning that, and we're convinced that we have the appropriate word for this hour this morning. And book of Jonah chapter number 1. I say often, and I'm not wanting any kind of pity when I say this, it's part of the experience and the calling, but in the work, but it's knowing what to preach each and every service. I've seen too many good outcomes of wholeheartedly searching for the particular message, for the particular service, to know that it's not just flipping the page and opening your book, pointing your finger, say, that's where we're going to preach at. It's not like that at all. Some do that, and you can tell. But we're not boasting or bragging by no means. We just have a desire to help you out this morning, those watching. The book of Jonah this morning, I want to share some things out of. Before I forget, at the conclusion of the service, Brother Ceylon has something to share. So everyone hold me accountable not to forget that. And the book of Jonah this morning, very familiar book that I'm sure everybody is familiar with. It's just after Obadiah. You'll find Jonah buried in there. The book of Jonah is familiar to many, those who study, who's heard much teaching and preaching in their life, know of the story of Jonah. And it's not our intention this morning to reiterate and just pedal our way through the pages of this book and go to the house. As I said a few moments ago, it's with intention this morning. We are deliberately preaching from this book. But the book of Jonah is for two people this morning. It's to the Christian, it's to us, those that are saved, but also it's to them, the book of Jonah. Them, meaning the lost. And so the book of Jonah is to two people, it's to us, but it's to them. You'll find in the book of Jonah that there are pagan sailors that were touched. Also, you'll find that Nineveh was saved. And those are the them that this book is for. But it's also to us, those that are saved and who've experienced needing a second chance in life. It's to us. We see in this book the compassion of God and His compassionate character in the book of Jonah. We see that Jonah was rescued by a whale in his rebellion, and he was given a second chance. We know that. But also, there was a gourd that protected Jonah in this book. Not only was there a gourd, but there was a worm. There was a wind that God used as well in the life of Jonah and for the benefit of others. So he used a whale, he used a gourd, he used a worm, and he used a wind. Sadly, when you go through this book and you reflect back on its content, you'll find out that we see compassion and care and concern from, number one, the mariners. They showed compassion when they were on that ship. They wanted to know who it was that is causing the storm, so that they can get rid of that person or deal with that situation and cause safety for everyone. You'll also find that the king of Nineveh was compassionate. and he had concern for others. He proclaimed a fast, and he proclaimed that everyone would be in sackcloth, even the animals, because he cared about the people of Nineveh. But as strange as it is, the only one without compassion who got the most compassion was Jonah. How about that? Jonah, in this book, is seen as getting mad over the salvation of others. I just don't understand that. This is the only time that I know of and heard of in Scripture and in life that someone gets mad, a Christian gets mad that someone gets saved. In all actuality, it's right the opposite. We rejoice when people get saved. But in this book of Jonah, we have Jonah, and he was not compassionate. He was angry, in fact, at the Ninevites. And so the belief tied to this is that Jonah was a Jew, and the Ninevites were of a Gentile origin. This is what caused the friction. This is what made Jonah mad and angry, because they got saved. You see, within Nineveh, there was idolatry, and there was hatred for God's people there in Nineveh. For salvation to be brought to them angered Jonah. So we see that this book is a book of a lot that's taken place. Ultimately, there's a reason that Jonah was running from the Lord, and that was that he knew that Nineveh would be saved. Actually, in chapter number 4, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." And so Jonah tells us that's why he ran. It's because he knew if he were to go and do what God wanted him to do, they would get saved. But there's a link between Nineveh and Jonah's hometown, Jonah being an Israelite. The link is they hated the Jews, the Gentiles. There was all kinds of idolatry and hatred. And so for them to get saved angered him. So he ran. He ran. The book of Jonah this morning is a small book. It has 4 chapters. And let me just say, the book of Jonah ends with an unsolved question. What did Jonah do next? In church, we don't know what Jonah did next, because the book ends this way. In chapter number 4, verse 11, the Lord says, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" That's how this book ends, with the Lord showing his love for Nineveh. And verse number 10 is Jonah's last recorded comment, and that is that he was angry. He was mad. Verse 10, "Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for," the Lord, verse 10, verse number 9, we see, "And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death." And the Lord finishes the chapter. That's all we have. What did Jonah do next? We don't know. We don't know. But we do know this morning, that the Lord had a call upon Jonah's life. It was God's will for Jonah to head toward Nineveh. That's what God's plan was for Jonah, was for him to head toward Nineveh. Look in Jonah chapter number 1, in verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." And so his call was to go to Nineveh, to make his way toward that mark, to head that way, Nineveh. That was God's will for Jonah, was to head toward the land of Nineveh and preach the gospel that he beckoned him to preach. But we know that Jonah did not do that. He went the opposite way. And this morning, I really want to call our attention to the fact that because God loved Jonah, that he pursued Jonah, even in his disobedience. And he pursued Jonah until he captured the heart of Jonah. God uses ordinary things in providential ways to funnel us back in alignment with his will. And that's what we see in this book. We see that he used ordinary things. He used a whale. He used a gourd. He used a worm and he used a wind. And these are ordinary things. But the Lord used these ordinary things in providential ways to funnel Jonah back to where he should be. I want to say this morning that that is the same case with you and with I, that the Lord uses ordinary things in providential ways. Listen, every day that you arise and you're awake and you go about your day, the Lord is in pursuit of you. He's in pursuit of me. And we are pursuing him because if we've named the name of Christ and we've confessed him as Savior, he's our Savior. So it's a joint affair. But every day that we live, the Lord pursues us. And if we get off track, he uses ordinary things in providential ways to get us back on track to where we should be in his perfect will. And as we take a step back this morning, we see that indeed that God used many things in these four chapters to get Jonah to Nineveh. God has a will and a plan for your life. And so therefore he uses these things. And what I call these things in my title this morning is simply this: acts of mercy. The whale was an act of mercy. The gourd was an act of mercy. Even we find within the worm that ate the gourd, that was an act of mercy. Even the wind that blew across the desert and knocked down every bush and knocked down even Jonah's booth and left just the beating sun upon Jonah's head. It was ministering unto him. The Lord was telling him something, that he needs to have a love for the Ninevites. But Jonah was angry. And so we find that even in our life, God uses various things, and these are acts of mercy. God will allow something to happen to keep us on the straight and narrow. God will answer prayer, or many times there's unanswered prayer, yet we seek him more earnestly because we want that prayer answered. Therefore, the Lord moves in various ways. These are acts of mercy. Mercy can be defined this morning as not getting what we deserve. Not getting what we deserve. Everyone deserves hell. But because of Jesus, we are not getting hell. We are getting heaven, those that are saved. It is an act of mercy. Mercy can be defined as not getting what we deserve, while grace can be defined as getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve grace, yet God gives us enablement to continue. And so we find that wrapped up in the life of Jonah, there's mercy and there's grace. And these are all acts of mercy. The whale, the gourd, the worm, and the wind, all of these things was a funnel effect to get Jonah to Nineveh. And the question this morning I give to you: are you in God's perfect will? from the youngest to the oldest. Are you in that place where God is providing for you? Are you at that place of empowerment where you're being used of God and you know you're being used of God on any scale or any level, not just in church, but at the workplace and even at home? Are you allowing God to use you? Are you at that place of God's will, God's perfect will? Well, we see that that's where God wanted Jonah. He wanted him to go to Nineveh and preach, but Jonah did not. And in between that, there was acts of mercy. I want to thank God this morning for his acts of mercy. The acts of mercy when he calls us to salvation. The acts of mercy when he calls us to service. The acts of mercy when we fail him every step of the way in between. God has always given us acts of mercy. Like the worm and like the wind, sometimes we get these odd things in life where it seems like it's an attack from the devil, or it seems like it's some kind of attack from the enemy, or it's the flesh or something. But like in the life of Jonah, that worm ate the gourd and that wind came, and all of those things was pushing Jonah to love the people of Nineveh. This morning, I want to share some things with you concerning acts of mercy out of the book of Jonah. And I want to talk about these acts of mercy in chapter number 1. When Jonah was getting ready to have his experience with the whale. Again, there are 4 acts of mercy at least in this book. And the first episode is with the whale. And there's really only one verse I want to mention this morning under that episode with the whale. And maybe we'll finish up next Sunday. I want you to notice in verse 1 of chapter 1, and we're going to emphasize verse number 3 this morning. Jonah chapter number 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now notice verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the place, or from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Again, I want us to focus specifically on Jonah and the whale, and how the whale was an act of mercy, and some things leading up to that act of mercy where Jonah is tossed overboard. Notice in verse number 3, we see Jonah fled. Jonah fled. The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We see that Jonah, he bolted. He fled. No doubt the reason why he bolted or he fled, because there was a struggle on the inside. Think about it for a moment. Jonah, being this person, being a Jew, being an Israelite, and knowing the estate of Nineveh, the Gentiles, knowing there's idolatry in there, there's hatred in there within Nineveh, they just hated God's people. Yet God said to this prophet, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh to preach. And the Bible says that he fled. He bolted. He bailed. Why did he do that? Because he had this, there was just this anguish. There was this anger. He had some angst within him about God's plan and God's will. And so the best he could do, he felt like, was to just flee. But I want you to notice that there was a definite struggle here. Well, should I go or should I stay? Should I obey the Lord in doing something I necessarily don't want to do? Or should I bail? And the Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee. And that word flee means he got gone. How many times in life are we faced with struggles? Are we faced with things that we don't want to face and we wish we could just run away from? Lord, I don't want to deal with that situation right now, so I flee. Lord, I don't want to deal with that scenario, or Lord, this is too hard for me. Why are you asking me to do that? Many times you'll find in life that people bolt or people flee when problems arise that are very big and they're mountainous problems. They leave and they flee thinking that that will suffice for their situation. And Jonah fled. Again, he was a Jew, and the Ninevites, Gentiles. And so he struggled, and he just fled. What are you struggling with this morning? Is there something that you know God wants you to do? It can be something as little as reading His Word and growing. It can be having a consistent prayer life. It can be going to church regularly or watching regularly. It can have attachments to a certain job or a certain person. It can have attachments to a certain place. It can be family issues or problems. Something that you know God wants you to take care of. And there's this struggle there. Instead of facing that struggle, you're fleeing that struggle. We see that Jonah fled in verse number 3. But I want you to notice something else in verse number 3. We see Jonah's direction. The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee, and notice this, unto Tarshish. Now, you got to understand the direction that he was supposed to head in. Jonah was supposed to head in the direction of Nineveh, which was northeast. But Tarshish was west. He was supposed to be going this way, but he was going in all actuality this way. And what I want you to see here is that it was total opposites. There was no middle ground there where he went. I mean, listen, Jonah was going as far away from the call of God as that he possibly could. Again, Nineveh that way, and Jonah went that way. The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. I want us to understand and always remember when we make a decision in life that we don't want to face our problems or face our fears or even follow the leadership of the Lord because we say it's too hard or it's too miserable. Or so, I got to give up all this stuff. In all actuality, that's not true at all. But let us remember, in serving God, there is no middle ground. We're either going to serve Him or not serve Him. There is no fence straddling in the middle of following the Lord. We're either going to be heavy after God or we're going to be fleeing from the Lord. And what we see here, as Jonah is getting further and further away from the Lord, not only he had to struggle with obeying God's will, but then he fled from God's will and went to Tarshish, the furthest place away from where he was supposed to be. Are you where you should be this morning? Those watching, are you where you should be this morning? Or are you like a lot of people? Are there times where I'm like a lot of people where I don't want to go this far with Jesus because there's things that are costly to follow him that far? And other times, well, I just want to stay back here in this comfort zone where I can manipulate things. But you see, there is no in-between where you can have both. You cannot serve God and mammon, the Bible says. And so we see that this morning, Jonah is in this situation. And what's your situation? Are you in the middle? Or are you going after God? Or are you far the other way? There's a third thing out of verse 3 I want you to notice. Not only Jonah's direction, we see Jonah fled, but then I want you to notice Jonah's compromise. His compromise. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. And notice this, from the presence of the Lord. It goes on and it says, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. There was a compromise here. Yeah, he fled, and yeah, he was going the opposite direction, but something was given up when he did that. You see, that term, the presence of the Lord, doesn't mean that Jonah at one time was standing before God and he like left God and God doesn't know where he's at. It doesn't mean that at all. We know that the Lord, he is omnipresent. He's everywhere, all at once, beholding everything. But you see, Jonah was a prophet. And Jonah had been preaching. He had been prophesying. In fact, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 15, and verse number 25, gives reference to that. How that Jonah was prophesying. And then we get to Jonah chapter 1, and the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. This wasn't anything new for him. He was a prophet. He was a servant. Listen, he preached and he prophesied, and he knew that God, he knew that there was no way to outrun the presence of God. So what did he forfeit? What was the compromise? Well, when he was fleeing from the presence of God, he was fleeing from that place of power. He was fleeing from his calling. He was fleeing from that place of influence, that place of provision, that place where God's hand was upon him, that place where he ministered, as in 2 Kings 15:25. Jonah fled from the presence of God. And listen, every time that we choose not to take a step toward Jesus and go after him. None of us are perfect, but when we choose not to go after him and we go this direction, we are leaving that place of power. We're leaving that place of influence. That place where we're used by God. And listen, no doubt following Jesus, there's times where the cross gets heavy. And there's times where the fires get hot. But you and I, we're in places during those times where God can use us. He's refining our faith and he's using us. But the moment that we leave that place, we leave his presence, he knows where we're at. He's with us. He's in us. But when the Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, he left the place of blessing. Anytime we deviate the opposite way from which we should be going, we're leaving that place of blessing. We talked last Sunday morning about Adam's place and how that it was a good place. It was a place of blessing. It was many things. But then they chose that one particular tree. And we have Jonah here. And Jonah has fled from the Lord. He has went to Tarshish. And he has compromised his position. I want you to notice something else in verse number 3. Jonah's trip. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice this. And went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. Sure he did. It was there and it was ready. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I want you to notice something. It jumped out to me last night. That Jonah is disobeying. He's struggling with something big on the inside. He left heading toward Nineveh, going toward Tarshish. He went down to the port to catch the boat, and it was waiting on him. You say, what is that? Listen, there's always a worldly mechanism that is readily available for all of us at any time to disobey God. Anytime God has a plan and a purpose for us, he won't. Listen, the same way in the world, there is always some kind of worldly mechanism that's ready and waiting. Well, just choose this. Don't go with God. Choose this. Just like the tree in the garden. In Adam and Eve, that don't touch the one tree. You have all these other trees. There was a tree there that was ready and available. And so Jonah went down, the Bible says, to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. That ship was ready. That ship was available. And the Bible says that Jonah, that he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Again, the world will always have some kind of outlet for you and I to plug into if we're not careful. We can be vulnerable and we can be so caught up in the struggle of life trying to follow after the Lord the best that we can. But listen, do not let your guard down, because there are ships available that are ready for you to aboard. The ships of sin, the ships of anything to replace what God has for us. There are so many mechanisms this world has that are readily available instead of obeying the Lord. Jonah's trip. He found a ship ready. And the Bible says to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. If you follow this story on out, we know that the Lord sent a great wind out into the sea when he was in that ship. In fact, verse number 4 says so, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Verse number 5 and verse number 6 gives us the account of the mariners and the shipmaster that were there, and they were concerned. You see, we have compassion from these guys. Jonah was not a man of compassion in the end. And so verse number 7 and 8, there were lots that were cast. Verse number 7 says, and they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? So you can see how God is pursuing Jonah. And so he's on the ship and he's going the wrong direction. They cast lots. And we know the lot fell upon Jonah. Verse number 12. And he said unto them, Jonah, to the mariners, the shipmaster, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. One thing we need to always remind ourselves of, if there's a storm in our life, number one, check the company you're with. It may have something to do with somebody you're with. These mariners were in this storm because of Jonah. And sometimes we encounter storms because of some people we're with or around. And we know that in verse number 13, the Bible says, nevertheless, the men rowing hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. I find it amazing that they didn't immediately throw him overboard. They actually tried to get to land. But then finally we see verse number 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. To this point, we have Jonah fleeing from God's will. He had that inward struggle, so he fled, but then he fled far away. There was no middle grounds. There was no fence straddling. He was just outside of God's will, going far. He compromised that special place of ministering, that special place of power, to accomplish his own personal agenda that was not going to Nineveh. We know there was a ship ready, made it easy for him to get to where he wanted to go. The mariners threw him overboard because of the storm. And the first act of mercy we see is in verse number 17. Now the Lord had prepared. How about that? Before Jonah ever was thrown in there, the Lord already had a solution. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You see, it's not the end of the world when we slip or we stumble. Someone said one time, the disgrace is not sinning. The disgrace is remaining in sin. But what a blessing it is when God, he knows what we're going to do before we do it, and therefore he prepares the solution. He's forgiven us anyway. He's forgiven us of past sin, present sins, and future sins. This fish was prepared ahead of time. God knew what he was going to do. And the Lord could just allow Jonah to jump or to be thrown in there into the ocean and sink. But he didn't. You see, perhaps Jonah was done with Jonah, but God wasn't done with Jonah. And whoever you are this morning, whether in-house or on Facebook, you may feel like that you're done and there's nothing more in life you can do. You can never be used by God, or God will never forgive you. I want to say God does forgive, and he will forgive you. It's an act of mercy when we're going the opposite direction, and yet the Lord reaches out to us. And by this whale, this great fish, being in the sea and swallowing up Jonah, just that account tells us God wasn't through with him, had great things in store for him. And so this morning, as we bring the message to a close, I just want to offer the invitation to you that God is still faithful, God is true, he's still extending mercy. And whoever may need to come, you come. Maybe you just want to come and praise the Lord. Maybe you just want to come and give thanks to the Lord, whatever the situation is, whatever you need. But if you're like Jonah this morning, the Lord wants you to be in his perfect will. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for the message this morning. We tried to accomplish a whole lot in a small amount of time, and I pray that didn't get in the way of your people hearing exactly what you wanted to say. But Lord, you are merciful and you're kind. And like that whale was prepared for Jonah, Lord, you're prepared to forgive us. You're prepared to extend mercy. Lord, I'm thankful for the times that you have made provisions ahead of time before we even needed them. I pray this morning if someone needs to do business with you in whatever fashion it may be, let it come easily. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name.